his child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all the things that had pondered in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you very much, Ezra. And Patrick, who led the service this morning, as you might know, he is a driving test examiner. Is that right? What's your actual job title?
That will do.
Okay, something like that. You do, as part of his job, he does driving tests anyway. And so he gets to see a lot of people sat in that seat right next to him. And it won't surprise you to learn that he certainly makes the most of the opportunities to spread the good news of Jesus. These tests often happen, of course, in the instructor's car, the driving teacher. And so the teacher's normally sat in the back.
Sometimes
sat in the back. The student's there next to Patrick in the front. And a few weeks ago, Patrick was out on a test. He turned the radio on, as he normally does. And he noticed that it was on a Christian radio station in the instructor's car. And so after the test, he turns around to the instructor behind him and he said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I go to such and such a church. Have you shared with this student the good news of Jesus? No? Leave it to me. And so he turned to this guy sat next to him and he shared the gospel. In fact, I think the guy had passed the test, hadn't he? So Patrick said, whether I see you again or not, depends, whether I see you again in heaven or not, depends on how you respond to this message of Jesus, this message that I'm sharing with you. Peter and Trudia have just come back from a few weeks away in Cyprus. On the flight, Peter found himself sat next to an Afghan lady, and Peter being Peter, he got into a friendly conversation for the whole 2 hours, and in which he shared the good news of the Lord Jesus. The lady asked him, what is your favourite Bible passage? And she went away promising to read John 3:16. When they arrived in Cyprus, they were there really for a refreshing break. But Peter said that they had lots of visitors coming and knocking on their house. He said it was really quite tiring, a lot of extra work for him. But then he said, with a twinkle in his eye, but there were lots of opportunities to share the gospel. Isn't that a great attitude? For Peter and for Patrick, the good news that they have seen just overflows in what they say. Just like the shepherds in the Christmas story that Ezra has just read for us. Here we see how evangelism happens. Saviour seers become super spreaders. That's how evangelism happens. These shepherds here in this true story of Christmas are, first, they are saviour seers. In fact, the shepherds, they saw all sorts of things that night. Starting with sheep, they saw some sheep, verse 8. That's what they were there to do. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. In fact, given their location, it is likely that these shepherds were looking after sheep that would then be used for temple sacrifices. And so how fitting it is that the first to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world are these shepherds. But they saw more than just sheep. That would be a pretty boring story if it ended there. But no, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? Especially if you were these shepherds, because of their job, the shepherds were unable to keep all of the ceremonial laws related to kind of Jewish custom, and so they were unclean in God's sight, ceremonially, symbolically unclean in God's sight. And now here is the holy God who we've been singing about, this great and glorious God. I noticed that Zach wrote in his notes after the song, he said, how great is our God, we were singing. Really great. That's true, isn't it? He is a really great and a holy God. And now he's appearing before these shepherds. No wonder they were terrified. But the messenger has some good news. Verse 10. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. What is the news? Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. And then the shepherds see something else. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. What a spectacle that must have been. The skies ablaze, songs of praise. But the most significant sight that they see that night is still to come. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. A baby lying in a manger. This is the sign that the angel had given, verse 12. A baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, which is a bit of a weird combination. There's maybe something of a contrast between those two things, because for a baby to be in a manger, to be placed in an animal's feeding trough, is a sign that perhaps not everyone really cares that much about this baby. But then on the other hand, to be swaddled in cloths is a sign of intimate care. In fact, in the Bible, this is a sign of intimate care. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God talks about his people Israel as like a newborn baby that no one loves, that no one cares about, and that no one, he says, no one wrapped you in cloths until the Lord came and cleaned them up. And now here's Jesus, this man who represents Israel, represents God's people, and from the moment of his birth, he is wrapped in these cloths, a sign of tender care. And I wonder that perhaps this weird combination might be a kind of taster of the pattern of Jesus' life. Rejected, but not neglected. Bethlehem couldn't find him a bed. Jerusalem wanted him dead. But even all of that was in the loving hands and the sovereign plans of his good Father in heaven. And so the shepherds, they go and see with their eyes this baby in a manger. Now, if you think about all of those sights that they've seen that night, the sheep, the angels, the glory of God, the heavenly choir, all of that stuff, this is not the most impressive of the sights. It's not the most dramatic of the scenes, but it is the most significant because this scene is a sign. Verse 12, notice what the angel said. This will be a sign to you, a sign to underline what the angel had said in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. That is why the shepherds hurried off to see for themselves. They didn't just abandon their sheep because they thought that newborns were cute or because they really wanted to have a baby cuddle. There was something significant about this baby. What are they desperate to see? Verse 15. They are desperate to see the thing which the Lord has told us about. And what has the Lord told them? Well, through his angel, the Lord has revealed to them that this baby is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. They understood that what they saw in that stable was not simply a bit of a weird maternity unit. It's not just a kind of ordinary infant, but rather what they saw with their eyes was nothing short of their Savior in a manger. You see, the shepherds saw Jesus not just physically, but spiritually. That's the significance. They saw Jesus not just with the eyes of their head, but with the eyes of their heart, understanding him to be who the Lord, who the word of the Lord had said he is. As they look in that manger, they see Jesus as he really is, not just a baby, but their Savior. And in this sense, many of us are also Savior seers, aren't we? Many of us have seen Jesus. We have seen the Savior, not physically, but spiritually. And it happens in the same way as it does for the shepherds. Just like for the shepherds, through his word, God has made known to us who Jesus is. Just like for the shepherds, through the word of the Lord, Jesus is revealed to us as the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Is that how you see Jesus? Or to you, is he just a baby, just a man? As you open up the word of the Lord, as you hear the message of God, can you see with the eyes of your heart that Jesus is the promised anointed king, that he is the man who is God, that he is the one who saves us from sin by being that substitute sacrifice? Can you see the Savior? Do you know what? I think probably many of us probably can, but we're like, yeah, of course, that's no big deal, yeah. It seems really obvious to lots of us. Do you know, that's, if it is something that you can see, then praise God for that. If you can't see it clearly yet, if you're kind of in the position where you're sort of exploring or you're just not quite sure, the thing to do is to ask him to show you, actually, because you won't be able to work it out for yourself. This is something that needs to be revealed. And if it has been revealed to you, if you are someone who does see that Jesus is Savior and doesn't think that that's a huge thing to be able to see for yourself, praise God for that. That's what the shepherds do. Verse 20. It's over the page. Verse 20. Can you see that there? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. If you can see Jesus in his word, that is no small deal. If you can see Jesus, praise God that he has told you about Jesus. It's not something that you could ever achieve without him showing it to you. He has made this known to you. Praise God that he has done a miracle and opened the eyes of your hearts. It might not have been an angel who came to you, but praise God that the Lord used a messenger to bring the good news to you. The shepherds open their mouths to praise God, but that's not the only reason that they open their mouths. These Savior seers become super spreaders, which isn't really a great phrase, is it? Thinking about it, especially like because people keep coughing around the room. And there are a bunch of colds going around at the moment. It's something we've heard about a fair bit in the last few years. Super spreaders are those who whatever they've got, they just seem to pass it on to everyone else around them. And that's what these shepherds are like. They're contagious. But instead of passing on a bad cold, they are passing on good news. Verse 17. That's back over the page. Follow it with me. You've always got to make sure in these lovely new Bibles that I'm not just making it up. You've got to see for yourself. So look at verse 17. Very good. When they had seen him, what did the shepherds do? They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. In fact, you definitely need this Bible open in front of you because I'm going to get you to do some work. What are they talking about? What do the shepherds talk about? What is the focus? What is the subject of their story? Say that again, Jim. Yes, yeah, so from verse 17, what does it say? What's the focus of this? The child, right? Yeah, the Savior who's been born. The child, they shared what had been told them about this child. Jesus is the focus of their story. And that's interesting, isn't it? Of all the things they saw that night, their focus was on the child. They didn't talk to people about the sheep. They probably wouldn't talk to people about the sheep anyway. That's boring. But there was some other stuff that happened. The angels, the glory of the Lord, this choir of heavenly angels. And of course, perhaps that was part of their story. But what Luke records is actually the focus of their story. What it really boils down to is the identity of this child, this baby in a manger. I think that's helpful for us as we think about spreading the good news. We may or may not have a dramatic story to tell, but what people really need to hear is the identity of the Savior. And so we must always share our personal experiences in a way that points to the person of Jesus, rather than obscuring or just talking about stuff that's happened to us. Actually, our personal experiences are there to direct people to the content, the subject of our message, which is Jesus. Rather than getting bogged down on secondary issues or philosophical debates, let's be quick to get to the person of Jesus as we talk to people. The shepherds had this right focus. It's all about Jesus. They also had the right content. So again, something for you to do. What they said about Jesus is key. So what is the content of what they spread? From verse 17 again, what does it say? It's a bit hard because it's over two pages, but take a look. What did they say? What's the content about what they said about Jesus? Yes, what they've been told. So notice there in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them. Interesting. Again, notice they don't share what they'd seen, but rather what they heard. Their message to others is not, here's what I saw, but rather, listen to what the angels said. Again, we see the power is in the word, the message about Jesus. They wanted other people to be able to see Jesus spiritually, not physically. And the way that God opens the eyes of our hearts is through the word of the Lord. And for the shepherds, what was this word of the Lord? What had the angel told them about this child? Again, one for you to contribute to. What had the angel told them? Him? Them? Yeah, so back to verse 11, right? That's the content of what the angel said. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. So this is the content of the message that we spread, the good news that we spread. It's a message about Jesus as the Savior, the fact that Jesus came to save us from our sin. Praise God. We have all done what is wrong. Like the shepherds, we are unclean in the sight of that holy God. And so for God to draw near should be a reason for fear. Sounds like bad news, but the angel says it's good news of great joy because this baby was born to die. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A substitute sacrifice, dying in our place, dying for our sin, so that all who trust in him can be made clean. And so this is a message of peace to those on whom God's favor rests. That's what the angels sing, isn't it? Verse 14. Grace. In his undeserved kindness, God extends peace to those who should have been his enemies. One day, this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger would be a body wrapped in cloths and lying in a tomb. Don't worry about that alarm, by the way. Maybe could someone go and mute that alarm? Oh, it's done. Well done, Agape. It doesn't matter. There's no fire. It's just an issue with the fire alarm system. But it's still functional, so don't worry. We're not going to burn today. I always think that things like that are a nice reminder for us to refocus. So if you've drifted away for whatever reason, then what a great time to focus back in on what Jesus has done as our Savior. This baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, would be a body wrapped in cloths and lying in a tomb. But then that body got up, sat up, rose up, left those grave clothes behind. And that means that really is good news of great joy. Great news of good joy, good news of great joy. It doesn't really matter. It's all the same. Praise God that Jesus has risen, because what that means is that Jesus really is the Savior. Everyone who trusts in him is saved. This Jesus, who is Savior, is also the Messiah, the long-awaited King, who through his death and resurrection establishes a forever kingdom, and everyone who bows the knee to Jesus gets to be a part of that kingdom. This Jesus is Lord. He is God. He is the master, the boss. Everyone actually must bow. It's not just like, well, you can bow the knee to Jesus if you like. You must bow the knee to King Jesus. And if you don't, then he will throw you out into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the message that the Lord has made known to us. This is the message that we make known to others. Jesus is Savior, Messiah, Lord. And that is the message that the shepherds shared. These Savior seers become super spreaders. Their joy is contagious. Verse 18, excuse me, I'm going to be contagious as well. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. Savior seers become super spreaders. It is a natural overflow. One thing leads to the other. In fact, it actually is the same word, the same Greek word used in verse 15 and verse 17. So again, look down in your Bibles. Verse 15, that the shepherds say, let's go and see what has happened, which the Lord has told us about, literally that the Lord has made known to us. And that is the same word used in verse 17. They spread the word. Literally, they made known the word. The same word. Do you see the connection? What the Lord makes known to us, we make known to others. We see good news, we spread good news. One naturally leads to the other. As Patrick was saying as he opened the service, isn't this wonderful news that we have in the gospel? Of course we want to talk about it. We want to praise God and we want to tell others. When we understand what good news it really is, that is something that will come naturally. So the thing that made these savior seers, these shepherds, super spreaders, was very simply that they had seen the savior. That's all. There was nothing special about them. They're very ordinary people. In fact, shepherds in that society were really looked down on. They had a bad reputation, partly because of the ceremonial uncleanness that we were talking about earlier. But they were just kind of disregarded. They were considered unreliable, such that they weren't even allowed to give testimony in the law courts. We heard about Dorothy the barrister earlier. You wouldn't allow, a shepherd could not be a witness in the law courts because they were considered unreliable. Isn't that funny? These are the first evangelists, the one who was sharing the good news to others. I love how God works. He doesn't turn up, the angels don't turn up and appear at a Bible college or amongst the religious leaders or maybe some like conference for evangelists. He's like, yeah, these are the guys to tell everyone about me. And it's just the ordinary shepherds who no one really liked. The thing that moves them to spread the good news is simply that they've seen it for themselves. I wonder when we hear the story of Patrick and Peter, perhaps it makes you think, what are they like? And perhaps it makes you think, I could never do, that's just not me. I could never be like that. Patrick and Peter would be the very first to tell you that they are very ordinary people. They don't have any particular training, any particular kind of like gift. It's not like they're set aside as evangelists. I do think they have the gift of evangelism, actually, but it's not like they're particularly special in any way. They're simply guys who love Jesus, and it overflows, just like the shepherds, in their natural networks. So what we see from the shepherds is that spreading the good news is not just for people who are really godly and really gifted. It's actually for everyone who has seen the Savior. I won't ask you to put your hand up physically, but maybe put your hand up mentally. Have you seen the Savior? Are you someone who knows that Jesus is Savior, Messiah, Lord? Answer that for yourself. Yes? If you said yes, it is your job to spread the good news of Jesus. You don't have to be anything special. It's actually for everyone who has seen the Savior. In Acts chapter 1, the risen Lord Jesus calls his people to be his witnesses by the power of his Spirit. All of us who have seen Jesus are called to spread Jesus. And because we have the Holy Spirit, that is something we all can do, no matter how daunting it seems. Perhaps some of us come from a church culture where the way that we contribute to ministry is basically by tithing. So maybe there's a kind of understanding that the leaders and the staff, they're the ones who sort of do ministry. And we support it by giving. So I am doing ministry. I'm doing it by giving money so that the staff can do what they do. But you know, that's not how it should be at all. Ephesians talks about church leaders being those who equip the saints for works of service. So evangelism, I hope this comes across really clearly because I think it's something that we can learn as a church. Evangelism isn't just a job for the evangelism team or for the keen ones who stay for our go outreach on Sunday afternoons. It's not just for some who are over there, it's for all of us who have seen the Savior. All of us are on this mission together. Or perhaps we think, well, yeah, okay, I get that in theory, but it's just not really me. I don't have that particular gifting. I don't have the personality to be able to do anything like that. And of course, there might be different ways for us to spread the good news. Not everyone is like Patrick, not everyone is like Peter. Not everyone has to knock on doors on a Sunday afternoon. And there might be lots of reasons why we find it hard, But if we have seen Jesus, all of us have this responsibility in our own ways and within our own natural networks to be those who spread the good news of Jesus. There's loads of opportunity to do that at Christmas time. There's loads of stuff we can invite people to, loads of ways we can think about reaching out. This is the mission that the risen Jesus has given to each and every one of us who has seen the Saviour. And that it can be very ordinary. It can be done in all sorts of ways. So, for example, it might be like Gloria, who sent a message on our small group WhatsApp group this week, saying, I can't make it tonight because I've got a Christmas work party. Please pray that I have opportunities to speak of Jesus. That's just an ordinary, simple, everyday way for an ordinary Saviour seer to be a super spreader. Or it might be like Emmanuel, trying to be a humble, quiet, gentle witness amongst those that he lives alongside, giving a reason for the hope that he has. Or like John Mark, seeking to be a really good neighbour and colleague and inviting, being very quick to invite people to church stuff. Or like Andy, who's trying to learn about Orthodox Judaism so that he's able to witness to those around him where he lives there in Stamford Hill. Or like Tamsin, sending thoughtful messages to her unbelieving contacts on her phone. Or like Sherelle, who reads the Bible aloud to her kids so that they overhear. These are just simple, everyday ways for ordinary Saviour seers to become super spreaders. Or like Anna. I've mentioned Anna as a super spreader before, but I went to see Anna this week, and she'd been in so much pain that she had to get an emergency doctor's appointment on Monday in an awful way. But as she sat there in the waiting room, she got into conversation with another Turkish lady and immediately invited her along to church on Fridays to be able to learn English and get to know us that way. She's always inviting people to church, wherever she goes. It's as natural to her as breathing. And I asked her that afternoon, I said, why do you always tell people about Jesus? And she looked at me in a really confused way. She looked back at me and she was like, as if I was crazy to even ask that question. As if it was a really weird thing to think that she wouldn't just share the good. And then she said this. She said, I love telling people about Jesus. He's helped me. He can help them. And that's it, isn't it? That's as simple as it gets. That is the heart of evangelism. I think we can get ourselves all tied up in knots sometimes, thinking, you know, oh, what do I say? Or how can I create an opportunity? I know I should do it, but I don't really know how. Really what it boils down to is, someone has told me some good news. I'm going to share that with others. If you've been bitten by the bug, you will be contagious. If you've seen the Saviour, you become a super spreader. No one had to tell the shepherds to do evangelism that day. They'd been told good news, they saw the good news, they wanted to share it with others. Saviour seers become super spreaders. This is just what happens. And so if we are going to obey this call of Jesus, if we're going to spread the good news of Jesus, then it all starts with seeing the Saviour. And that's really where I want to land, because I could stand here and tell you some specific ways that you could reach out to your neighbours and friends this Christmas time. And actually, after the service, before lunch, we're going to have a few minutes to actually think that through in practical terms. Think about the people that God has put in our natural network. Think about some creative ways that we could each reach out over this festive season. So we will do that. But it actually all starts here. If we are going to be super spreaders, we can't be super saviours. Jesus is the super saviour. And if we're going to point people to the super saviour, then first we need to be bitten by the bug to become contagious. Once we are utterly convinced that it really is good news of great joy, then it will become as natural as breathing to share that with others. We started with the example of Patrick and Peter. Do you know one thing that Peter and Patrick have in common? They both read their Bible every day. It's not a coincidence. It's as they see their Saviour and delight in the good news of great joy, that's why it just overflows into their natural networks. I think the thing with evangelism for lots of us is that we know we should be doing it, but it's like, well, where do I start? Here's where we start. This is the foundation. If we are delighting in Christ, if we are seeing the Saviour, that will overflow. So as we consider sharing this good news of great joy, can I just encourage us each to spends time looking at the Lord in his word, the Bible. By the power of the Spirit, let us have a fresh resolve to see our Savior in all of his beauty, refocusing our gaze on the marvelous reality that Jesus really is Savior, Messiah, the Lord. Something that might help with that is this Christmas mission devotional, which John Mark has pulled together and a bunch of people have contributed to in the church family. If you haven't already picked one up, there are some at the back and some on your way out as well. And the thing I love about this Christmas devotional is that it has both sides of these things. So there's actually from Luke 1 and 2, there's a reading and a kind of very short reflection. And then there are some suggested prayer points, both personally to help us to delight in the good news of great joy, but then some suggestions about ways that we could turn that into prayer for others that we're seeking to share the good news of Jesus with. So this is a really great resource. Pick one up on your way out. Make use of that. It will help us, hopefully, to become super spreaders as we become Savior seers. How did those shepherds respond to this good news of great joy? Let's close here with verse 15. Look at verse 15. They said, let's go and see this thing that has happened. Verse 16, they hurried off. That's a word that has urgency to it. They were desperate. They eagerly went to see the Savior for themselves. And once they'd seen, then they spread. So this Christmas time, let us each eagerly dive into the word of the Lord to see our Savior. That's how evangelism happens. Savior seers become super spreaders. Shall we ask for God's help with this? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this good news of great joy. And there are many of us whom you have revealed this to. You've made it known to us that Jesus really is the Savior, Messiah, the Lord. Lord, give us excitement about that. Lord, we were blind, but now we see, and we praise you for the miracle that your Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts. And pray that we would see Jesus in all of his beauty this Christmas time, and that would naturally overflow to the people that we have contact with. Lord, please would you make us contagious with this good news? Would you excite us? Would we get bitten with the bug once again so that we might overflow to others? We pray it so that your kingdom might come, so that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our own hearts and in many in our community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing with joy the wonderful reality that Jesus really does save. And it's sort of part of the same thing, isn't it? As we sing praise to God, we sing praise to others. And we share the good news with others. So that's what this song is about. Let's stand together. Let's sing.